We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So Cueto out of the stretch. High and deep to left, and Arenado got this one. It's 4-3. Cueto knew it as soon as Arenado hit it, his first of the year.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Dwayne Kuiper on the call for NBC Sports Bay Area. Mike Kruko as well. Nolan Arenado hit a bomb to left field there in the bottom of the sixth inning, and that's when things got haywire for the San Francisco Giants as they fall to 5-6 on the season. They're up 4-1 going into the sixth inning. Johnny Cueto's cruising. You see the shimmy where he almost falls over. He's doing his shimmy. He's doing his shake. He comes back out for the sixth inning. Two-run bomb by Arenado, and all hell broke loose, like I said, Guru, as the Giants dropped that one 7-6 at Coors Field, the first game of a 10-game road trip.
And you know what I realized, fellas, for the 2020 Giants is even when they're down 4 or 5 or they're up 4 or 5, you know what? It's not over. And I put that one in the win column. I'm the reason they lost last night. Up 4-1, Cueto's taking the bump. I'm like, okay, Butch, they're about to send a message. We talked about this vaunted 10-game trip. It's getting off to a good start. You know, balls going out the park on the road. And at the end of the day, I just go bad news bears when it comes to the defense. And, you know, you can't miss the cutoff. You can't have the catcher running up the third base line, nobody at home, and runners just coming around. That's not what's going to get it done. And for the people out there counting, the Giants are a half game out of the playoff spot in Major League Baseball and the National League with that loss. But moving forward, you're marginal. They're hitting the ball better than right now than we all thought. But defense, you cannot be porous. And right now, we see them in rundowns. We see them missing the cutoff. It just can't happen because you're not that good, Butch. And I don't know if we've just been focused on hitting so much that we haven't gone at this team with their defense, their poor defense. What?
I've been doing it every day. I've been disgusted by the lack of fundamental awareness. Like, it's ridiculous. Okay, before the game even started, I saw Dickerson in right field, and I'm like, why? Why is Duggar in left, and why is Dickerson in right? That makes absolutely no sense. Makes no sense. If anyone has ever played or watched a game in Colorado, you know left field is irrelevant. Bonds right. Played left field at 43 years old.
Yeah.
It's not some tricky outfield. Put Duggar in right. And back-to-back plays, it felt like, or within, you know, two or three plays each other, Duggar should have caught the ball up against the fence. He didn't, which is fine. He's not a defensive player. He should be playing DH or playing left field. That's it.
Dickerson,
those are his spots.
Yeah, yeah.
Dickerson,
yeah.
Excuse me. Who did I say? Someone else?
Duggar.
So,
yeah, yeah.
And then Dickerson misses the cutoff. But on that play, I'm disgusted by that play because they shifted on the play, number one. Number two, anybody who's coached Little League, anybody who's coached Little League knows if there's a throw coming into second base from right field, the left fielder has to be backing up that play, okay, given where everyone was on that. There was no left fielder backing that up, so Duggar, who's a great defensive player, nowhere to be found on the play. Then, for the fourth time in 5 games, a defensive catcher made an unbelievable lack of awareness play that cost them an extra run. This is the fourth time in 5 days. I'm sick of it. It's driving me completely insane. I was disgusted with the lack of mental awareness. It's the team! It's the entire team. And at some point, it falls on Kapler. Again, I all like right. Kapler. I do. I like Kapler. But it's things like this that drive me
no
completely
doubt.
Insane. I've seen more mistakes defensively on basic
Monte,
mental
it's gotta
stuff.
Fall on somebody.
Pre-pitch,
it's not a good look.
Post-pitch. It's on him. It's eventually it's got to fall on him.
It's
but it's driving me nuts. They gave that game
wow.
away in one inning. That's the
one
second
inning.
Time.
One
back-to-back
wow.
games, they've lost a game in one inning.
One inning.
It's unacceptable.
And here's the play with Alex Dickerson here. Here's the ball that he dropped that led to a triple by McMahon.
Hit out into center field. Pretty well hit. Dickerson back. Dickerson at the wall. He dropped it. Yes, he did. Oh. And McMahon, who can run, is going to end up at third.
You hear the by Mike Kirko.
Yeah, that's me.
The
Because it should have been caught.
It should have been caught.
It should have been
and
caught.
I knew right then and there that it wasn't going to go to Giants' way. Again, I've seen this movie before at Coors Field. Here's David Dahl in the RBI single and the error that led to two runs here. Here, listen to this damn play.
Get on the ground, and this is going to sneak through. So coming in to score is Kemp. As the ball gets wildly thrown, and it's going to score another one for the Rockies.
Hey.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
On a ball that should have been caught in right field leads to all of this.
Well, the ground ball gets to the outfield. Dickerson comes in, overthrows a cutoff, and Chadwick Trump has to know that he has to stay at home. That pitcher's behind him.
Unbelievable. Nobody covering home plate. Dickerson overthrows a cutoff man. We'll hear from Gabe Kapler in just a second on why he put Dickerson in right and the defense needing to be tightened up, man. But it's just a joke. One inning, and it cost you a big-time win. And now you got Gausman on the mound tonight in Coors Field. This road trip, this thing could spiral out of control.
Marquez pitching for Colorado.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's been doing good.
Last night was a brutal loss. That's the toughest loss of the season.
Yeah, but this goes back to when you're bouncing guys around all over the outfield, all over the infield, they can't even remember what their responsibility is. How many games has Duggar played left field? Like, I'm asking sincerely. How many games has he played in left field? Not many, all right? So on that particular play, when Dickerson airmails a simple cutoff, I can hear my high school coach, Mr. Lavaroni, going, hit the cutoff! I can hear it right now. Hit the cutoff. Where is Duggar backing up that play? He's nowhere to be found. Next thing you know, here comes Chadwick Trump trying to make a play because Longoria is trying to honor third base, and then you just give up home. I mean, it was just... It was bad news, Bears. It was unacceptable. And I'm sorry, it comes down on again, I like Kapler, but at some point he has to accept
you like
responsibility
the person.
On this.
You like the man, though, right?
Right.
Because through 11 games, I'm just asking, Butch, I don't know, do you like what you're seeing?
I like the approach
from the managing aspect.
I like what they've done at the plate. For the longest time, I've said, what is the strategy when Giants are coming to the plate? And right now, they got a bunch of guys who at least look like they have a strategy when they go to the plate. So I will give the hitting coach or whomever, whatever their advanced analytics are saying on the hitting, you have to give them credit on the hitting. But the defense is unacceptable. And they're shifting so much and moving guys around so much, no one knows where they're supposed to be. Like, there was a play last night, Longoria, going to his right because he was shifted behind second base. Look, at the end of the day, it's a ground ball to your right.
But
because he's in a spot
you.
He's not familiar with, he gaffs it, and it's just like, come on, man, what are we doing?
That's your computer, Bonte. That's your computer talking to you.
Nah, the computer.
Put him over here.
Throw the computer out the damn window. When I saw that ball go through the NFL, I go, wow, if they're just playing normal defense, it's a damn grounder. You may get out the inning quicker here. Here's what Gabe Kapler had to say about Dickerson's drop out there right field that led to a McMahon triple.
I think things just sped up. There's a lot going on in the field at that moment. Ball just got away from him. Just kind of a human error. Just didn't have control of the baseball. And on the ball that he dropped, I think Dick will tell you that's a ball that he's capable of catching. And I know you guys are going to talk to him about that. But he's one of the more accountable, strong-minded players that we have. I don't think it's going to affect his performance going forward. Trust that he'll own that. It's just who he is.
Hey, Gabe.
What do you mean there was a lot going on? going to catch the ball. I'm sorry, Bonte. Well, quit adding extra. It doesn't lessen what happened.
Hey, Howard
Eskin.
There was
Eskin. A lot going on.
Howard Eskin for Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia was not lying. He was not lying. He said Gabe Kapler's a really good guy, but he has zero chance as a manager, and his post-game pressers are a must listen. Here's Gabe Kapler on why you put Dickerson in right field at Coors Field.
In hindsight, you question, like, was that the right call? I mean, honestly, I bet Dick makes 19 out of 20 times. The throw I bet he makes is, like, almost every time. There's no question. I absolutely second-guess myself. No, I think I'd have to go back and do it the same way over and over, though, because I think the calculus, the thought process was Duggar, excellent defender, center fielder, covers a lot of ground, big ground out there, left-handed hitters who are likely to hit the ball in the air to the left side, didn't do that. And, you know, that's just part of baseball. Sometimes you set them up and you set them up in the right way and it doesn't work out. I think that's what happens now.
This is not trigonometry. Calculus? What am I? It's baseball. Calculus.
He said, in retrospect. No, in real time, right. When I saw the lineup getting out there, I said, why is Dickerson in right field? Why? Right. Why? It makes no sense.
He cannot field.
And he makes that throw 19 out of 20 times. No, actually he doesn't, Gabe Kapler, because that is his second missed cutoff in the first 11 right. games of the season. So, no, he has not made that throw 19 out of 20 times. So, no. And to be honest with you, like, it's just – it's insulting to my intelligent calculus. No, common sense says you put Duggar in right field because, man. A, he's played Duggar has played right field, and B, he's got more range, he's got a better arm, and there's more space to cover in right field. None of what he said made any sense to me.
And what could be going on? He's not on the freeway trying to catch a ball.
I mean,
what's so much going on the field? No, man trying to get ball, which he got there and should have gloved. I mean, what was going on?
We have a saying in baseball.
Man, make throw, man, cut off.
But there's a saying in baseball. If it touches your glove, you make the play. I don't care if it's a diving play, a play to your left, a play to your right. If it touches your glove and you play ball at any level, you got to make that play. And here's another thing. Have you guys noticed every single batter, these guys are all looking inside their wrist. They have like almost like a quarterback script of where to play.
Or they think about
like
the back pocket. They take about
it
the
is ridiculous.
Pocket.
Yeah, I thought this is way too much, right. Man. This is way too much, man. Way
I have
too much.
Seen that.
Because you know, look, as an infielder, and everybody knows this who's played ball at any level. You know, hey, a guy's swinging late against someone who's throwing hard. Let me move over to the opposite side. You know, let me move in a couple steps. Let me move back a couple steps. Like there's nuance of where to be. These guys are literally looking at a play sheet on where they need to be on every single batter. It's too much. This is just it's too
I'm
much.
With you, Butch.
I'm already waving the white flag. It's too much. It's not calculus. It's baseball.
And Bonte, real quick, and I'm just keeping it real. I don't want to sound like I'm just, here I am, WWE wrestling, bashing Kapler. Has he once admitted, you know what, I just made a mistake?
No, he's not going to do that.
That's not his style, huh?
He's not going
to
do that.
You get to hear just, you know what? I made a mistake, Bonte.
You know what he did say? He said the defense needs to be tightened up here. Here's what Gabe Kapler had to say about the Giants' defense so far this season.
Just as a team, and I think you guys have probably figured out, I'm not wanting to single anybody out. Just as a team, it's really important that we tighten up our play. We play catch. We make the plays because, particularly in one-run games, at Coors Field, like every out is so critical. I also think that our offense has shown that they can score runs in bunches. So we really do need to keep every advantage that we possibly can. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Here's Gabe Kapler on his philosophy he's all over the place here. His philosophy with the lineup management. Here's Gabe Kapler on that.
I think one of the things that I'll talk about with our players and happy to share, you know, philosophically is it's not always about the player that's not playing or the player that loses the at-bat. By way of example, Duggar, for example, right? We hit with Pablo Sandoval there. Oftentimes, like, well, do you not think that Duggar can come through in the clutch right there? No, I absolutely do. But I also think that Pablo can come through in the clutch. And if Mauricio, you know, plays second, shortstop, center field, by way of example, does that mean that you don't think Dubon can be a great major leaguer? No, of course not. It means that we think Solano rakes we need Craw on the infield tonight, and we want Yastrzemski and Duggar to get a chance. And obviously, we saw what Dickerson could do with the bat. So oftentimes, it's not as much about the player that's not getting the reps. It's much more about the player that is getting the reps.
Dude, Kapler, Duggar's
so
batting 111.
Why use all your energy with all that?
Look,
wow.
First of all, he's lying to us, all right? You don't believe in Stephen Duggar at the plate. The guy's batting 111. You put in Pablo, who's not batting any better than Stephen Duggar. You don't believe in Duggar. Stop it. Stop it. And somebody needs to call him out on this, because I'm not going to be able to take 50 more games.
He had a narrative for everything, Butch. Lord. I don't like that. That takes too much energy, man.
You ever hear when you're talking to your wife and you just start talking because you're lying and you just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper? And I'm like, I should have just kept it at one sentence. That I'm telling you, is Kapler. He's over-narrating every little subtlety. Hey, look, man. I like Pablo against pitcher X. That's all you got to say. And you got to leave it at that. Yeah. You don't need to give me all this, like, I'm boosting up this guy. I'm boosting up that guy. Because eventually it rings hollow. Like, the guys know what's up. When Duggar gets pinch hit for, he knows what's up.
Right.
Like, Duggar looks up
and there's nothing wrong with that, Butch.
No, it's not.
But Pablo's everybody gets yanked.
Oh, 91.
He just talks too much.
The fact that you're pinch hitting Pablo for Duggar, you know, I can't. Here's
rearranging
what Kapler. Dude, he's overdoing it, man. He's you know what it is? He's trying to cater to the Bay Area media because of the way it started at his introductory press conference. At his introductory presser where they talked about what happened in L.A. in the minor league system with the situation he had with Farhan. He's trying to overcompensate for himself. You don't need to do it. Just manage a damn baseball game. And don't give us all these big words about philosophies and calculus and all that. I don't care about that. Just manage the game and let us know, hey, you don't really believe in Duggar. You're not going to go out there and admit that to say, hey, I just believed in Pablo in that situation. What did I believe in Stephen Duggar? If you hurt the guy's feelings, so what? He's a big boy. He's a big boy. He's a major leaguer. Duggar, you don't have faith in him. Don't lie and say, oh, I do believe that Duggar could have came through that situation. But, no, you didn't believe in Duggar. Stop lying. You're lying.
Yeah, but Duggar that's called fluff. We don't need the fluff.
Yes. Duggar knows what his batting average is. He knows what's up. He's been yo-yoed back and forth between AAA and the major leagues. Like, it's very simple. Duggar, if you hit, you can stick around. If you don't, then you're lucky that you even got to start that game. Because I could have made an argument Slater should have been in there instead of Duggar, if we're being totally honest here. So, like, again, I don't want to hear it anymore. Look, when they brought up Duggar, I said, oh, good, we're going to have some defense. All right. But when you bury him in left field, I question your basic baseball IQ. Why would Dickerson ever be in right when Duggar is in the game at the same time?
At that yard. Okay, At that yard, right center
field.
Look what happened.
Any yard in the NL West.
It's the biggest right center field in baseball. Coorsville, we always talk about it. Boy, there's a lot of ground to cover in the outfield. So get your speedster over there. Hit the guy with a little more speed who could cover more ground. It is common sense.
It's almost like the baseball gods made that happen so we could have this conversation about the error of why you chose to put him in left instead of right. No, seriously, man.
But look, my dad has a saying, okay? Somebody just make a play, all right? I don't care who. Like, there's no excuses. Make a play. That's a play with Dickerson. It's very simple. Yeah, he should have made that play. He didn't. Stunk. Then he should have made that throw. He didn't. It stunk. Stop overthinking it. Just make a play. It's a routine fly ball. I know you're going up against the wall. You're going up against the warning track. It's a little over the shoulder. But, Lute, you're a major league outfielder. Make the play. It's very simple.
Here's the other thing. You guys brought it up earlier, and I know Guru where he stands on the shift. The shift. Everybody's shifting everywhere. Oh, my Lord. Shift, 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 shift. Shift, 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 shift. Here's what he had to say, Gabe Kapler, on the process with calling infield defense.
I'm really glad that you asked about process. And the reason I'm glad is because just to get to talk through how individual each play is. So the process is we go to the video room, myself, Kai, Woe, if we have other infield coaches around. And just beat up the play. What could we have done differently? Who could we have had in a different position? Did we do that the way we wanted to do it? So, and we'll watch it several times over, and then we'll come back to it the next day, because it's never just finished. It's always a work in progress, and we're always trying to get better and kind of raise the bar for ourselves and put our players in the best position to field ground balls and to make plays.
I feel like every single presser or every single pregame presser, he always says to the media, what's his session? I'm really glad you asked that question. Like, you knew they were going to ask you.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm really glad you asked that about our infield defense philosophy. Man. It gets on my nerves. I can't take this for another 49 games. I really can't, Butch and Guru.
Butch, he's trying to win something that's not even a game or a scoreboard. And it may go back to that introductory press conference, but he's over-talking. And, Butch, with last night's defensive alignment, I think he's overmanaging. And again, I'm just not hearing anything come from this man's mouth that says he went with his intuition. You know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah. You got to go with your gut. Come on, Gabe.
It's, you know, when you hear a quarterback talk in those press conferences and they just start going, they rifle through the cliches. You know, we played really hard. Offensive line gave me protection. We just got to execute. Like, I feel like Gabe, when someone asks him that question, Bonte, that you say, he goes, oh, that's a really good question. That's him in his brain trying to set up all of the cliches that he needs after
here they come. He
processes that particular question. And it's like, no, it wasn't a great question. Now I have to deflect and come up with filibuster. Like, that's, to me, that's the way it lands on my lap. I'm just, dude, just stop trying to prove how smart you are. You know how you prove how smart you are? But when I see the lineup and I see, huh, Duggar's in right and Dickerson's in left, that's
defense
a smart
matters.
Baseball play.
Yeah,
exactly.
Defense matters.
Cost you a ball
stop
game
overthinking
yesterday.
Everything.
It cost you a ball game.
You lost by one run. You lost by one run. And that sixth inning cost you the ball game. Cost no you the question. Freaking ball game. Didn't come down to the night. I get it. Yeah, you had a runner scoring position. You had a chance to tie it.
I thought but they were going to tie it. I'm sorry. When Colorado made that error, I'm like, these Giants battle, man. 27 outs.
Oh, man. They do battle. Yeah. They do battle.
They
speaking
do.
Of battling, Johnny Cueto looked really good through five innings. He was cruising. The shimmy where he almost lost his balance. It was hilarious. But then the sixth inning happened. Is Johnny Cueto, is he just a five-inning pitcher now with the fourth and fifth inning? Once it gets there, it feels like so far, and I know he's building his arm up. He hasn't had a lot of reps, but it just feels like this is just who Johnny Cueto is. He gets to that sixth inning or fifth inning, and all hell's going to break loose. All hell's going to break loose for Johnny Cueto.
Yeah, I don't feel that way, Butch. I really don't. And I look at the Braves just real quick here and what's happening with their staff. I think Cueto's going to be coveted by many teams, Atlanta leading the charge. But if the Giants ignore the math or, you know, making the playoffs is not the World Series and they want to get something for him, what I'm saying, Bonte, is I believe Cueto right now through three starts, people are looking like, you know, we could lean on him. And you think about last year, he wasn't even around, Butch. I don't think he's doing bad for himself at all. And I could make the argument he should have got a W last night.
Exactly. Like, make some plays, defense. Like, help him out. All he can do is throw strikes, and the guys are putting the ball in play. Defense has to make plays. Look, they just have to make plays. And then here's the other thing. Stop pitching to Arenado. What are we doing? Do we not realize there are a handful of guys that own the Giants? Goldschmidt's one of them. So is Nolan Arenado. Stop pitching to them. I watched Barry Bonds get automatically walked or pitched around for his entire career. Why do the Giants feel bullish? Like, we're going to go at Arenado.
Well, what are you
He's
doing?
He's a superstar.
But it's a runner on first base with no outs. What are you going to walk him and have runners on first base with no outs?
Yes.
No, we would kill him then. We would kill him then.
No, that's terrible. You got to pitch to Arenado.
No.
He left the ball
I'm
up.
With you, B.
He left the
I'm
ball up and he got it smacked 430 feet. That's you got to pitch to Arenado in that situation. It's a leadoff single. Blackman gets off first base. Well, you're going to walk Arenado and have runners on first and second with no outs in that ballpark? I disagree with that.
Yeah, so my theory is always pitch around Arenado with runners on every single time this guy comes up. Look at his – I feel like he bats 700.
He ain't Barry, though, Butch. That's Barry Bonds.
He is ridiculous. I know he is. Against the Giants, but he didn't
nobody on, I'll walk him, but not – I'm with you, B. Nobody, no outs, no runner on first.
That was his first home run of the season. He smacked it. He was struggling. It's a runner on first with no outs. You got to play for the double play there, Butch.
Do you fear – he doesn't hit into double plays against the Giants. Do you fear him every time he comes to the plate?
He's a great player. He's a great player.
Saying.
He's a great
pitch
player.
Pitch around that guy.
No, but
I'd never give
in
to him.
In that situation, you don't walk him and have runners on first
then
and
you
second.
Then you bunt runners to second and third.
That's
his, and
that's his third at-bat against Cueto. That's his third at-bat against Cueto. That's why I do I pitch
pull
around
Cueto.
Him. That's why.
Then pull Cueto.
Okay.
Pull
but they weren't ready. They had nobody up.
Right. Then you got to pitch to him in that situation. I don't pitch around him. And then you're loading the bases. You basically have runners on first and second with no outs. And all of a sudden, you're asking for trouble in that ballpark. You are. Cueto was pitching okay. You give him the benefit of the doubt. And look, you give up the two-run homer, you're still in the lead. You're up 4-3. Get out of the damn inning. Wow. You got to play defense after the fact. But in that situation, I'm pitching to Nolan Arenado. I can't walk him in that situation with the leadoff runner already on first base.
this goes back to the whole bullpenning thing. They don't have enough bullpen arms to begin with, right? So who do you go? Who do you even go? Like, again, I agree with the thought process. So you can go to Rico Garcia? Dude's arm's going to fall off. He's pitched in every game. Who are you going to go to? Tyler Rogers? You're going to go to Anderson?
Well,
like,
that's the problem.
Anderson is going to be a starter here soon, man. That's just me. I don't sound like you two would be shocked.
Sean Anderson's looking rough right now. I thought he had closer stuff one day at Saturday afternoon at Dodger Stadium. Sean Anderson, man, he's so inconsistent. It's going to be a rough trip if they can't get innings out of these starting pitching, man. They really can't. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 Game. Brought to you by Bay Alarm. More of your phone calls coming up. 888-957-9570. Richard Sherman and Jimmy Garoppolo. They will be speaking to the media here coming up. We'll play some of that sound coming up for you here on 95.7 The Game. And it's all sponsored by Bay Alarm. When it comes to looking out for your business, Bay Alarm brings the best, like professionally monitored video verification, proven to catch crooks and prevent false alarms. Because if your security's not the best, you are not secure. Now more than ever, Bay Alarm.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites and don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. And use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Fitz. Bob Fitzgerald was on with us at about 10:30 a.m. This morning on BSNG. Also, tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. Light them up. What do you think about that Giants loss last night? It's ticking us all off here on the pedal. Let's go out to Buck in Port Arthur, Texas. He wants to talk about Gabe Kapler here on 95.7 The Game. What up, Buck?
Hey, guys, love the show. I was so down last night after the game and after the moves that Gabe made. But when I turned on your show this morning and I got the app, excuse me, and hear the you guys, just what you guys did about such class, but man, I love your guys' show, but I was just wondering if there's any chance we could get Gabe Kapler to work for my company, because my boss is considered Bobby Knight of the oil industry. Is there any chance? I would love to have a boss like Gabe Kapler. I could lose money on a job and get a promotion.
Oh, wow.
Damn, Buck.
Kapler math, man.
Buck still there?
Real quick, I'm going to do the Mount Rushmore of sports talk real quick in the Bay Area. And, of course, I got to start off with Rob Barbieri. Then I'm going to go to Jerry Radich. Then I'm going to give 95.7 The Game some love. I'm going to go with Damon. But last and certainly not least, a new guy to the scene in the last couple of years, and that's Guru is my fourth guy, my cleanup hitter. Guys, keep up the great work. I'm hoping to come back
right
to
on,
the Bay Area. But God bless you guys. We love you here in Texas, but we really love you guys in the Bay Area. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Buck, for the phone call. Great stuff there. Great stuff.
Buck got Guru. My check. Yeah. My check was in the bag.
Yeah, wow. Guru, Mount Rushmore there. Mount Rushmore here. Talking about Gabe Kapler. Let's go after Verducci real quick in Walnut Creek. Our main man, Verducci, in the creek. What's happening, Verducci?
What's going on, fellas?
None much, man. Talking Giants baseball as they lose to the Rockies last night.
Oh, man. And I tagged you guys on Facebook because I blew up over the weekend, especially Sunday's game when they had an opportunity to sweep. And
I'm watching every pitch.
And, you know, he brought him in at the end of the inning to get that one batter out. And he should have went to his, you know, his dogs in the bullpen there to finish off the rest of the game. We probably could have gotten the sweep. And then last night, you're telling me you're going to go ahead and put Pablo up there when you got guys like Ruff that are hitting over 300? And granted, that should have been an out there that he grounded out to second base. But these moves that he's making, especially putting Dickerson out there in right field, it's crazy. We could be easily 6-4, or should I say 7-4, because I know we're 5-6 now. And it's just mind-boggling. He's overthinking it. And I'm done bringing in the negative Nancy's. The guys that are just kind of not even a fan of Kapler, with the Pence is batting 0.38, Sandoval 0.91, Duggar 1.11, Fells 1.11, and we can go on. Crawford hitting 207.
Wow.
Let me tell you, Butch, you said it on your show. Kapler, you do you. You have nothing to owe these guys that were from the
past in
2014. You go ahead and bring up the people and put the people in the lineup that are going to perform. I'm tired of this. Let's go, Kapler. Get it together.
It's also our Farhan, too. I think so.
Yeah, because he should empower Kapler to be like, hey, don't even trip on these guys. This is your show. You know what I mean? You be the bad guy. You got
100%.
The license. Yeah. 100%.
But again, like last night was a great example. Okay, so you don't want to go to Pablo. Go to Darren Ruff in that situation. Who's had a better year this year, Darren Ruff or Pablo? All right? I was thinking in my head, God, this would be a great opportunity to give Joey Bart a off-the-bench pinch-hit situation in Colorado, down a couple runs. Maybe they pitch around the young man. Like, again, like this is why I want Joey Bart on the bench, because he gives you the threat of a home run. Does anyone fear that Pablo's going to hit a home run off the bench?
Not anymore.
Does anyone fear that Hunter Pence is going to hit a home run
off
the bench?
Warning track
power. No.
What about Dubon? And I like Dubon as the defensive replacement.
You're lucky for him to hit the ball 200 feet.
Yeah. Duggar? Wow.
He's like, not hitting the ball 150 feet.
You don't even have to be a great hitter. But like this
Those
is why
four
guys
names
like Matt Stairs.
Four names.
This is why guys like Matt Stairs could stick around forever off the bench because of the threat of the big time Jack. That's all you have to do. Give me the threat of someone who can actually go up there and hit the ball out of the park. What better place to showcase the young man Joey Bart than in Colorado? Like the House of Horrors, where you know games go on forever. Have the young man on the team. Like there's no excuse at this point. I'm overhearing the excuses.
Guru, I gotta chime in on a second. Verducci was talking. And it says something over Verducci. I'm trying to figure out what it was. Here it is.
And especially Sunday's game when they have an opportunity to sweep. And
I'm watching every pitch.
Rigged in.
Oh, wow. That was Padone talking to me in my ear. I didn't know that.
I'm watching every pitch.
I'll take a laugh.
Spadoni, what were you talking to Guru about?
I was just telling him because, you know, we all know Guru is an avid Pirates fan, right? And the Minnesota Twins took a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the first. Just letting him know.
And so he said on air,
I'm watching every pitch.
I'm watching every pitch.
Damn, Spadoni set me up.
Like no one was listening. Yeah. Like no one
was listening.
I thought it was just the G-Chat. I thought it was just me and him. Why? Well, he set me up.
It wasn't just G-Chat. It was all over the Bay Area airways here. By the way, did you get on the radio last night? The Pirates lost to the Twins. Are you over the Pirates right now?
Yeah, I'm over
them. I'm watching every pitch.
There's bad managing going around all across the nation. You know what I mean? And I'll say this, and I mean this. I was going to say it after you were done, Butch. We talk about growth and what Kapler's learned. Just listening to the sound bites, and I mean this, I don't think there's any growth on why he failed in Philly and why Angelo could come on our show and Howard Eskins and not – be a fan of the tactic. You know, this guy's not playing chess. He's playing checkers, and I think everybody knows it but him. The team's swinging the bat. They're playing hard. But to me, honestly, after 11 games, this doesn't bode well. Now, if his boss, Farhan, is okay with these mess-ups or mishaps, then he's got the power. Who am I to say anything? But right now, an honest Giant fan has to say, this is not Bruce Bochy reincarnated by any stretch.
No, it's definitely not Boch.
If Kapler is the one preparing the meal, right? He's preparing the meal. Like, to quote Bill Parcells, Farhan's the one who's got to get him better groceries. I mean, he's the one who's got to get him better supplies. And you're picking from garbage. I mean, Verducci named off all the batting averages of Pablo, Pence, Duggar,
1-1-1.
Belt.
What is he? 1-1-1? Wow.
I mean, it's, again, like, you're telling me Jalen Davis off the bench? You're telling me Joey Bart off the bench doesn't have better long-term ramifications for development of this organization? Like, that's I don't buy that at all.
It's embarrassing.
There is no reason to continue to trot out Hunter Pence. I don't want to see him.
What about that play? We're talking about that play in the sixth inning where nobody was covering home plate chat with Trump. Here's what Gabe Kapler had to say about Trump. Even if he stayed at home, we wouldn't have recorded out. Here, Gabe Kapler here after the game.
It's a bit of a jailbreak play. In a perfect world, like maybe Trump, he stays home, he reads that he's got some backup from the pitcher. But I watched that play right after the game. I watched it 5 times. I'm not sure if everybody does everything right. Trump, he stays home. Peralta picks up that baseball, makes a perfect throw to the plate that we record the out. I think that was just one of those chaotic jailbreak plays that didn't have a good answer. Believe me, I wish I could come up with one for you.
Here's Kapler. He said he wasn't even sure if he was going to talk to Trumpy, his nickname, after the game about that play.
We'll probably take a bit of a neighborhood approach to it, and we'll definitely catch Trompy. And that would be myself, Craig Albernaz, Nick would be a good choice. Kai, whoa, anybody would be the right person to talk to Trompy. He's incredibly receptive, super bright, probably going to be beating himself up for it as well. But I just want to be very clear here. There are times when I'm going to say somebody's out of position. There are times when I'm going to say, like we've talked about with Heineman, that he has to give that ball up sooner. He has to have a feel for the timing. And that's something that we have to correct. After watching that play several times, I'm not sure on Trump. I'm not sure that the right play is clear that he should not leave the plate there, because the throw was just sort of so offline. He may have had a feel for where Peralta was in space. And again, sort of a jailbreak play. I just don't have a great answer for you on that one.
Dude, Howard Eskett was not lying from Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia. Go ahead, this guy's a hoot after the game. It's unbelievable the way his post-game pressers are must listen.
Where's the follow-up
what was
question
that?
Beat writers? Yeah, here's the follow-up question. Well, where's the left fielder on that play? If you learn baseball at Little League, high school, college, the minors, on every single play, when the ball is put into play, you're moving. I don't care if you're not in the play. You're backing someone up. Where's the left fielder? Where is Duggar? Where is he on that play? Is he backing up third? Is he backing up second? Wow. Once that ball's hit to the right side, how is he not in motion? Again, where's that follow-up question from the beat writers? I'm not even hammering the beat writers.
I watched it five times, Butch. I mean, five times.
His name is Trump. Stop giving him a nickname. The name is very short to begin with. Does he really need a nickname?
Everybody's got a nickname. Kai, Woe, Trompy.
That's a problem.
I mean, it is a problem.
Talk to one of our 18 coaches. That was another thing. You don't even know who to go to on that situation.
He's not like doing himself any favors. I know I'm not shocking you, Bonte. That's bad right there.
But what if you're a journalist still covering the San Francisco Giants? This is great. He's giving you content on a nightly basis, because you're just like, what is he talking about? What is he saying? And that's why, you know what? You think about 2022 with all the payroll, the payroll is going to be shed. The more and more Gabe Kapler talks, the more and more I believe he's not going to be the manager here in 3 years. Okay. I really do. I really believe that Gabe Kapler is going to be a placeholder. And Farhad Zaidi's got to be like, all right, I know I hired this guy, but I can't trot this guy out here year number three, because he's going to cost Farhad his job with the way he speaks after the media, with his game planning.
He's telling on
himself.
And
again, he is snitching on himself. And somebody's going to be a scapegoat. And I guarantee you it would not be the president of baseball operations down at Willie Mays Plaza, 24 Willie Mays Plaza. It's going to be Gabe Kapler. He's going to be the scapegoat here. And it's hard to see Gabe Kapler being a manager of the Giants once the year 2022 starts.
I have a hard time believing that Farhan Zaidi said, hey, in my first managerial decision, when it comes to finding the guy who's going to replace Bruce Bochy, an all-time legend, I'm just going to get a placeholder. Like, that just, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that that's not what he did, but I just have a hard time believing that, B. Like, I really do. I have a hard time believing that he was like, I'm going to go to bat for this guy, given everything that they had, all the drama and stuff down in L.A.
So you think he really not to cut you off, but you really think Farhan believed that Gabe Kapler was his long-term solution as manager of the Giants?
I have no idea. I mean, I have to believe on surface level that he thought this was the guy who could take this team into the future, and there's some synergy there because they have familiarity with one another. But if that's the business model, like, name me a business that's like, hey, let's hire someone who we know's not good enough, and they'll just hold this ship down, and we might lose, and we're going to take on water, but eventually we'll get the right captain for this thing. Like, no business operates like that. That is a flawed business strategy if that's what they did. And I just, for someone so smart, I find it very hard to believe that that's how Farhan operated for his first managerial decision.
Bonte, and I always use the word pride. You know, there's pride in announcing that new contract with the player, because that means you got it right and that player's performing well. And I look at Farhan like he doesn't want to go through 10 or 12 managers. You know, Butch, you don't want a sacrificial lamb right out the gate. You want a guy that you think is going to be your next Bruce Bochy.
Wow.
But I'll say this, and it dawned on me when you sent us the text after the lineup card came out, and shame on me. There's three facets to baseball: pitching, defense, offense. And all I was fixated on is the where they were slotted at from an offensive standpoint. Now, with that gaffe, right left field, I'll be looking at the lineups moving forward because I've lost confidence now. I just assumed they would have that on point, Bonte, from a defensive perspective, what Butch was so upset about before the game started, and then it bites you in the ass. Now when the lineup cards are revealed, I'm looking at the defensive aspect of it because I don't trust them. I just don't, well, you know, you got that wrong yesterday, and it essentially cost you the game.
Do you think Farhan, when he hired Gabe Kapler, really thought that this team could win in the next 2 years? Like, I'm asking because you look at Gabe Kapler's situation in Philadelphia. And again, we didn't watch all the Phillies games, but
it was bad
out of Philadelphia. Right. And it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty. One of my best friends in this world is a diehard Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers fan. He said when they hired when the Giants hired Gabe Kapler, first thing he said, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Thanks for taking him off our heads. We couldn't get him out of town quick enough.
Wow.
Like Farhan, the fact that he does get this job as a president of baseball ops with the Giants, he has time to really fix this organization. The fact that he would hitch his wagon to a flawed manager, and knowing that, hey, I'm probably not going to have Bumgarner, which he doesn't have. Posey's out. Hunter, I'm re-signing Hunter Pence, bringing him back. It's just, maybe Farhan was like, look, when this team is ready to win, I'm going to find my new Bruce Bochy. I'm going to find my manager who's going to take us into the promised land in the future. I just find it hard. Like, yes, Bush, you're right that a business model was wrong if you think that you're going to bring in a manager as a placeholder knowing that you're not going to win. But at the same time, it's like, is Farhan really that smart to think that this guy can be the long-term solution in San Francisco? Just after 11 games, listen to this guy. Listen to him. And well, look at his strategy. There's no way in hell 70% of this fan base believes this is the guy who can take this team to the next level. I'm having a hard time believing that, and I can't help myself but thinking that this guy's only here until he is the Mark Jackson of the Golden State or of the San Francisco Giants. I really, truly believe that.
Well, here's the thing. Like, we keep talking about Farhan. We keep talking about Kapler. What about Larry Bear? What about this ownership group? Because in our lifetime, since they took over, they have been the model of consistency. They've got a lot of Pittsburgh Steeler-type vibes in Major League Baseball. Bochy was here 14 years. Felipe, the shortest tenure during this ownership. Felipe Alou, 4 years. Dusty Baker was here almost 9 years. Roger Craig, 8 years. Jim Davenport before that, 1985. Right. Going all the way back to Leo DeRocher back in New York, it was a bunch of 1, 2, and 3, and 4 year stints for all the managers. So once this ownership group took over in the early 90s, they have been the model of stability and consistency. And when they hire somebody, they say, hey, this is where you were going. We're gonna ride with this guy. We don't just hire someone, because that's what it was during the 50s, 60s, and 70s for the Giants. It was instability at the coaching job. It was, we don't really care about the manager. It's a bunch of nobodies. One and dones. I mean, a ton of one and dones, going back to Jimmy Davenport in 85. But since then, it's been consistency. Again, Hum Baby, Dusty Baker, Felipe Alou, Bruce Bochy. I just find it hard to believe that Larry Bear is signing off on moving off of Bruce Bochy for a one-year guy in Gabe Kapler. I just have a hard time believing that this ownership group wants to do that.
I think 3 years. They're going to give Kapler. They'll give Kapler next year. And depending on how next year goes, it's going to be like, you know what? We can't live another 162 with him. Like, what? And JD was on this. John Dickinson, of course. He was on this. He believed that if the Giants were playing 162, Kapler would have been one and done. I mean, I don't know about that, but there's some validity
to
that. That's some validity to that, where if they would have gone 162 and everything would have got off the track, you go back into 2021, I really do believe that Gabe Kapler's not going to be here long term. I really do. Let's go to Rick at Pleasanton. Rick at Pleasanton wants to talk about Gabe Kapler here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. First-time caller.
Thank you.
I thought it was interesting. Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you guys were talking about Gabe Kapler, because I have similar feelings about him, and I do believe that he is kind of a scapegoat. And I know that some inside happenings are that, you know, Farhan kind of calls the shots, and these managers are getting less and less control. It seems like as years go by, it's more of a numbers game, as we all know, and that these managers are more of puppets and just kind of do what guys like Farhan want. And I don't know really what my feeling is on it. I'm still trying to understand this new age of the game. I'm curious what you guys think on that. But in terms of Kapler, I've heard that there's a lot of issues from inner workings of him as a manager simply because he has a lot of gas and parked out of his butthole too much.
Well, I'll say this, Butch. I'm just real quick, Bonte and Butch. Butch, I don't think it was one and done. I don't think Farhan even thought on any calculator that this thing or his team would, what ails him would be rectified in one season. So I do think he gave him or he sees two or three years. My thing to you, Bonte, is I'm wondering if Farhan just didn't like what was available to him. And
that's
maybe Gabe Kapler got the job by default.
Right.
And right now through 11 games, forget the nine innings. What's going on with these pressers is a guy that just seems out of touch and is talking so much, it's becoming funny. It's becoming fodder because it's like he's in a world of his own and it's only making sense to him. And at the end of the day, I'm starting to think now, wherever this thing goes, if we keep getting those SNL skits after the game and before with the pre and post game pressers, who's to say he's not one and done JD style in 60 games? I'm just saying that's what he's talking that bad. Forget the man. He's becoming almost a bit of a joke.
And you know what? And we'll get some Sherman sound in just a second. I don't think Sherman said a lot today down at the pre-game presser. We'll look at that at the break. But just speaking of Gabe Kapler, look, I don't want to take away from the players. I see here a text like, hey, let's talk about everything but the players who continue to come up small. Look, Dickerson has to make that play. Dickerson has to make that play. But at the same time, managers have to put your best players or put your players in a position to succeed. Dickerson catch the damn ball. I get that.
All right, shifting.
The play in the pitcher, putting Triggs in that spot there the other day against Texas. Put your players in a position to succeed. That falls on the manager. Now, again, players got to make plays. They got to make plays out there. Dickerson, there's no excuse for dropping that ball that led to a McMahon triple. I get all that. But again, it goes back to Gabe Kapler and these lineups and the shifting and putting guys in spots. It's on the manager and Farhan. And I think Farhan, when it's all said and done, he's not going to be gone right away. They're going to look to Gabe Kapler and say, you know what? Gabe's got to go. And it is really going to put the onus on Farhan to find the right manager and put him on a hot seat to really succeed. Because how long is Larry Bear and company going to wait for this team to come back to and become relevant again? How long are they going to wait?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Give me a number, Butch.
I don't know. A couple years? I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not sure because we know how closely tied they are to their revenue streams and fans coming in, and their reduction of season ticket holders over the last couple years is a trend that they want to stop. There's no question about that. Here's the thing, B, and this is what I don't have an answer for. I'm seeing a trend of panic. And what I mean by that is that there's so much information that they're trying to process in real time that they panic time and time again on very basic plays that to me should be second nature baseball plays, whether it's getting a guy up to be ready to go in case this guy gets a couple hits against him. You know, understanding the situation, it's first and third. If the ball goes by the pitcher, you got to cover home plate. Like very specific, old school, instinctual stuff that
you
should
basic,
know.
Those are basic, Butch. That's basic.
But here's the problem. When you're trying to process all this new stuff, I think that you end up being paralyzed by all the analysis. And this isn't just the Giants. Like, if we're being fair, I'm calibrating this on, like, I'm hypersensitive to the Giants, and I know that. But I'm watching other baseball teams, and a lot of teams are struggling with all this overshifting and overprocessing and over-bullpenning. It's not exclusive just to the Giants, but I think it's highlighted when I watch the Giants because they just have significantly less talent than a lot of these other teams.
Hey, how about this for the 510? This is a very interesting question. I want to know how you guys feel about this before we hit the break. From the 510, if A.J. Hinch is available next year, would you guys be okay with the Giants bringing him in if Kapler doesn't work? Now, we know A.J. Hinch was fired by the Houston Astros. We know what happened with the Houston Astros. Really?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the same philosophy. The Astros do a lot of shifting. They play the analytics game. It's not too different than what the Giants do out here in San Francisco. But you'll take A.J. Hinch in a heartbeat, huh?
His team was ready and prepared to play, and how many times, and I'm just for me, and I've watched the Astros play a lot of times, how many times did we second-guess him on things that we're second-guessing Kapler through already 11 games? And like I said, those pressers, Butch, just I lose confidence here in Gabe talk, man.
Well, and when I go back to just why I got frustrated with Kapler hire, you have anyone you want to pick, okay? You have all of Major League Baseball, essentially, who's available. And you're telling me the manager doesn't matter. Well, if that's the case, and you truly believe that the manager does not matter, why are you going to pick one with a ton of warts and a bunch of backstory issues right. that you have to defend on day one? That's the only reason why I would give pause to AJ Hinch. Wow. Like, if you're look, if you think he's the best man, like you did with Kapler, okay, I'm open-minded to it. But if you're also going to tell me at the exact same time that the manager does not matter, well, then why are you going to pick somebody who has a horrible track record of cheating? I don't want that guy if that's the case.
No doubt.
Because in a perfect world, B, Joe Girardi would have been the manager of the Giants. I would have did everything in my power to make it. If it was about that, the man of the ship, it would have been so Girardi. I would have did everything. I would have tried to get him in a Giant uniform.
Here's why Girardi was never going to work with the Giants, at least right now. I know that he's embraced this since then. A guy who I trust with the Oakland A's said when the Yankees came to town and Girardi was running the Yankees, they would give him an entire, boom, they plot down the notebook of all the advanced analytics and all the metrics. He threw it right into the garbage can. Into the garbage can. And the Oakland A's staff, who was cleaning up the Coliseum, found this and was like, he's not even looking at the information. And that's why the Yankees couldn't wait to move off him, because they wanted to push more analytics, wow. and he was not open to it. Now, to his credit, since then, he said it on the MLB Network, Joe Girardi said, I had to learn to embrace the analytics,
right.
and that's what led to my downfall in New York. And I believe that's part of why he got the job in Philadelphia, because they do believe he's a changed man.
You know what? I guarantee you Yankee fans would love for Girardi to be back.
Oh, man.
He took those teams to the playoffs when nobody believed in the New York Yankees, and he won a ring, as you mentioned, number 27 for the New York Yankees. So, yeah, he could get lost in not embracing the analytics, but he's still a damn good manager, and I think the Yankees made a mistake here. We'll talk more about Gabe Kapler a little later. Let's get into the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo speaking to the media. Richard Sherman just spoke to the media. Ian Williams will join us at 1:30 here on BSNG to talk about the 49ers. Ziggy Ansah and Deion Jordan have visited the 49ers. We'll see if the Niners sign one of those pass rushers coming off the edge. We'll talk about that right here on BSNG, and plus more of your phone calls. We'll still get the Jordan Reed and George Kittle's contract situation, 888-957-9570. It's the Article Guru Johnson, Joe Shatsky, the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill, right here on BSNG, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.